Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, please. We'll pick up where we left off last Wednesday night. It's Christ our Passover. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 tonight. Look at this a little different, a few more truths as we compare the Passover and look at a few things here compared to Jesus Christ and make some parallel comparisons here. Exodus 12, verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 13. You follow along as I read tonight, please. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor take next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. It shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, with his legs, and with the appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Father, thank you tonight for these verses. Dear God, tonight I rejoice that you are our Passover. And God, may tonight you take the word of God now and encourage us and teach us, Father. Remind us, Father, of the truth. And plant into us, Lord, your holy word. And Lord, what it means to be saved, what it means to abide in Christ. And God, tonight I pray that you bless now, Father, as only you can. Lord, you know the hearts and the needs of the people tonight. May I be the right spokesman tonight. May I be your vessel. We pray in your name. Amen. We talked last Wednesday night that the Passover marked a new beginning. We see in verse number 2 where it says that this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And so it began a new ceremonial year the month Nisan. Began the new ceremonial year for the Jews. And this would be the beginning of their month, the beginning of their new year. And so salvation is also a new beginning. We talked about that last Wednesday night. Salvation is the beginning of the new man. It's the birth of a new man in Christ Jesus. I'm glad for that. If salvation is the birth of a new life. And there's a great life to be lived in Christ, and we have a new life in Christ. Salvation is the birth of a new heart. He takes out the stony heart. He puts in a fleshly heart. He puts in a heart that he can move and guide and direct. So salvation is the birth of a new heart. And salvation also, we talked last Wednesday night, that it is the birth of a new commandment. Christ said he gave us a new commandment that we would love one another as we love as he loved us. And so we find that salvation in Christ is the mark of a new beginning. We find tonight as we read this few verses tonight on the Passover, the Passover was the protection from God's wrath and God's judgment. We see that in verse number 12 and 13, that God was going to pass through the land of Egypt, and he was going to smite all the firstborn, both a man and beast. You can imagine now how wicked the land had become, that God was going to smite both the firstborn of man and beast. He was also going to execute judgment upon the gods of Egypt and reveal to the whole world that these small g gods had no power of deliverance and no power of help. And so God was going to judge Egypt, and God was going to deliver his wrath upon them. He had warned them now, these previous plagues, he had warned them. and confounded their gods, but yet they would not turn. And so we see today, in our own world today, we see the results of man's sin abounding. We see God's judgment on the world beginning. And all these things that we've seen in the last several months, and even yesterday with this thing in Texas, how tragic that is. And we can give, we can blame a lot of things tonight about that. Having gun control and taking away guns from man won't solve the hearts of people. And so we see that when you take God out of the world and you begin to serve false gods, these things rise up. When you have a generation that says the unborn have no value and life has no value, whether if you're young or you're old, it's no wonder we see take place what happened yesterday. And so we find that there's a lot of problems. We see God's judgment. And it's not so much that God allowed this to happen as it is the result of man's sin and God's judgment upon the wickedness of man. America's false gods can't deliver from the wrath of God. This Passover was also protection now for the children of Israel. God was going to pass over the land and judge Egypt. And, God, by the way, God knew, He knew years before that. He brought Israel down into Egypt for this very purpose. And they might not have seen that, but not only, so He is working out that He would bring Israel to Egypt 400 years earlier than that to provide for them. But He also was going to use them to judge the world and judge the wickedness as well. And so now God provides the Passover for the protection of the children of Israel. They were to take a lamb without spot or blemish on the 10th day of the month, and they were to watch it and make sure that it had no blemish. Then on the 14th day of the month, they all were to take their very own lamb, a male, without blemish or spot, and they were to crucify or sacrifice that lamb. That wasn't enough, though. Just to slaughter the lamb wasn't enough. They were to collect the blood from that lamb, and they were to apply that blood to the doorpost of their houses. Every house had to have the blood applied to the house. Not just one, not just the leader, not just the, maybe Moses, but every house, every head of the household had to take that blood and apply it to the doorpost of their homes. Now we find tonight real quick that they didn't put the doorpost on the threshold of the door, because we're not to trample under the blood of Christ and make light of it. And so we find that they're to take the blood and apply it to the doorposts of their homes. But not just that. He didn't say just to apply it. He said, now take that lamb that you sacrificed and consume it this night. You see, I think that every part of that process had to be observed for them to be protected from the death angel. They just couldn't leave one part out. They just couldn't go by and take a little bit of blood. No, the lamb had to die. They couldn't just apply the blood to a doorpost. To every house had to be applied. And they had to eat of the lamb that night and his entirety. And so we find tonight that the Passover was for their protection. Now Christ is our Passover. We see that He is today judging the world, and He will one day return and judge the world again. Brother Mitch has been talking about that in Sunday School Hour. He's going to judge the world. And so we need protection from God's wrath and judgment as well. Look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We looked at it last week, but I want you to see it again just for a moment, and we'll go on tonight and just give you a few thoughts from our text. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and even, of course, I want to remind you what John the Baptist said about Christ when he's seen Him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And he points out that Christ is our Lamb. Then we find in verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 5, the church here is being taught, and it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, now watch it now, he says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for you. You see, that lamb was the Passover lamb in the Old Testament. It was for their protection and their deliverance from the wrath of God. And so we find that God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. God hates sin. He can't stand to look upon sin. We were born in sin. Our nature is sin. And so we need protection from God's wrath and God's judgment. And so Christ is our Passover. He has delivered us from the wrath of God and the judgment of God to come. So let's look at this tonight, just real briefly here tonight. Three things real quick. Number one is this. In their protection, a lamb had to be sacrificed. And that lamb, according to verse number 5, had to be a lamb without blemish. It had to be sacrificed. It had to be a perfect lamb. Well, look at book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. First Peter chapter number 1, and look with me at verse number 18. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your empty, your worthless lifestyle, your worthless life, your empty life." So that sounds pretty harsh. Well, that's what the Bible says, that without Christ it was vain. "Received by tradition from your fathers." Now, how were we redeemed? Verse number 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we find that that Passover lamb in the Old Testament is a type or a picture of Christ Jesus. And he too would be sacrificed without blemish, without spot. Christ was perfect in all his ways. He left heaven. He came through the Virgin Mary, but he lived a sinless life. He fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law. He never disobeyed. He never backtalked. He never lied. He never had an impure thought. He never lusted. He never committed immorality. He was without blemish. He was without spot. He was a spotless Lamb of God. So this Lamb had to be sacrificed, had to be without blemish, and Christ was that Lamb. We see in our text, verse 9, it says that you couldn't eat this Lamb. You couldn't eat it raw. You couldn't roast it in water. It had to be roasted with fire. What does that mean? That means that that lamb, that fire was a picture of judgment, of wrath. And it said he had to burn, he had to roast that lamb in fire. Well, Christ also, if you will, had to be roasted. He sacrificed with judgment and fire. And look with me at the book of Isaiah chapter 53. His crucifixion, no doubt, it was no easy thing. And never had a man been crucified like Christ was crucified. He bore our iniquities. He bore our sin. But he took the wrath of God upon him, and he was judged for our sins. You know the verses in Isaiah 53, great verses. It says in verse number 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That lamb had to be roasted with fire, and that was a picture of judgment. And Christ was judged. He was chastened by the hand of God for our iniquities. He took our place. He took the brunt of the wrath of God. And so on the cross of Calvary, we find that Christ, as he became sin for us, and he took that judgment, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so he was our Passover lamb. He was judged for our sins. And by the way, not just for the big sins. We think that, well, you know, he died for the murderers. Yeah, but he died for you that hate too. He died for those that are unforgive. He died for the pride and arrogancy of our hearts. He died for our self-righteousness. We have this idea, well, I must be pretty good because I'm not like so-and-so. No, tonight, in the eyes of God, before Christ came, you were a scumbag. You were filthy and vile, and you need to be redeemed. And Christ said, "I'll go and I'll die for all their sins." And he became our sin. He was chastened for our sins. And Christ endured the fiery wrath of God for us. We find in 1 Corinthians 15:3 it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's what put him on the cross of Calvary. You know that tonight I'm preaching to the choir some. But he died for our sins. He was consumed. He was judged for us. Now tonight we find that the verse number 46 of our Exodus 12, it said that he was to be sacrificed, that lamb was to be sacrificed, but not a bone of that lamb was to be broken. Right? Verse number 46 says that. And they were sacrificed the entire, and by the way, they had to sacrifice the entire lamb. So with his head and his legs and his innards. And so Christ gave all of himself for us. He didn't sit and go and give a limb. No, he gave all of himself for us. But we find that his legs were not broken. We find that in John chapter number 19. We'll turn there for a moment. John chapter 19, we'll find that verse number 30. Verse number 31 says, now the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken with. They wanted to break the bones so they would die quicker and die early of suffocation. It says, then the soldiers came and break the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They break not his legs. Verse number 36 says, for these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Why? You know, they didn't kill Christ. He gave his life. They didn't take his life away. He laid it down. And it wasn't the beating and the crucifixion and the spear in his side that killed him. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He gave up his spirit. He died willingly. But I find this, they said his legs were not be broken. And why is that? Well, to fulfill scriptures. But I want to see this, that they did not take his, they did not break his legs because they could not take his power from him. In the legs of man, it symbolizes power, it symbolizes a foundation, it symbolizes truth. And though he gave his life, they could never take away his power. He still was the Son of God who reigned supreme. Hey, they could not defeat truth. He still was the way and the truth and the life. So he had no need, they could not break his legs for scripture's sake, but they could not take away his power or his truth. So a lamb had to be sacrificed. Number two is the blood of the lamb had to be applied. We find that in our text tonight, the verse number 7, not only did that they had to sacrifice a spotless lamb, but it says verse number 7 that they were to take and apply the blood upon the two posts and the upper post of the doorpost of the houses. So blood had to be applied. Tonight, it's not enough for Christ to have died. The blood must be applied to your life and to your heart. You have to go beyond tonight the knowledge of his crucifixion, but you must also apply it to your life as well. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse number 2 says this, here's our verse. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. See, the blood of Christ had to be applied to each and every individual. In fact, look at Colossians with me, Colossians chapter 1. Notice with me how important this application of blood is. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 19. It says that, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so his blood now, he had to be crucified, but he also had to shed his blood. And it was his blood upon the altar of heaven that appeased the wrath of God and gave us reconciliation and peace. But that blood of Christ must be applied to your life as well. It's not enough to know that he was crucified. You must receive him and believe on him. It's not enough that you say, well, preacher, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were saved. No, you must be saved. Christ must, His blood must be applied to your life. But preacher, you know, I was raised in a church just like this one, and maybe some of you who were raised here all your life. But it's not enough just to come and sit in the pew. You must receive Christ for yourself. You must receive His blood in your life and cover your sins of your heart. Oftentimes today, I think that we have a head knowledge of who Christ is and what He's done, but we don't apply it to our own lives and heart. We don't receive Him as our own Savior. And so a lot of people today sit in church as church members, but not the members of God, of heaven. Not the members of God's family, because they have a head knowledge, but they never have applied the blood of Christ to their own life, to their own heart, through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, it wasn't just enough for the children of Israel to have one door applied. And one door with the blood on it. Every house, for that death angel to pass over, every house had had the blood applied to the doorposts of their homes. Tonight I want to encourage you that you must receive Christ for yourself. But I'm going to encourage you parents as well. But saved parents, you sanctify your family. Now you can't get saved for your children, but you put them in a place where God can work in their life through the Holy Spirit of God, and they can be saved. And tonight I want to encourage you moms and dads to be faithful to God and be careful. You got little eyes watching you. And when God gave you that child, that son, that daughter, in the balance hangs a living soul. And they're going to spend, it's not about tonight how much money they're going to make, or how good education they're going to get, or what they know. It's tonight the most important thing is about, do they know Christ as their Savior? And if my boys grow up to be, and become garbage men and just drive a trash truck, but they know Christ, hey, I'll be excited about that. Well, what if they never make a lot of money? That's okay. It's all going to pass away one day anyway. And no matter how, listen, what would it matter if they got rich, but they didn't know Christ? What would it matter tonight if they had great jobs, but they never raised their own family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? See, tonight, mom and dad, you may come to church and say, you know, it's just another service. It's just another time together. And it means no big deal. It is a big deal. Because you sanctify your children tonight. They're watching you. You raise them as Christ instructed you to raise them in the nurture and ministry of the Lord. Hey, family devotion time is important. Your prayer life is important. Your walk with God is important. Hey, the hymns of the church, they're important. Everything we do for Christ is important. Because we're telling our children that Christ is the way and the truth of life. We've received Him. So tonight, when you walk with God and you be faithful to God, you can't get saved for your children, but you sanctify. By the way, the scripture says that that even with unbelieving spouses, that the husband that has an unbelieving wife, that he sanctifies her, right? And the wife has an unbelieving husband, that she is his sanctification. Now she can't get saved for him, and he can't get saved for her, but they're in a place where God can begin to work in their life and their heart. I know it can't be easy. Tonight, you're doing a great work. Don't look lightly upon it. Don't take it lightly. Because every soul needs above the Lamb tonight for God, for protection from God's judgment and God's wrath. Without that, when Christ comes again, there'll be eternity lost. So you're doing a great work tonight by following Christ. The blood of the Lamb had to be sacrificed. The blood of the Lamb had to be applied. Number three tonight, and lastly, and I'll get you done here in a moment. Get you out by 8 o'clock. The meat of the Lamb had to be consumed. We read back in our text, in verse number 8 of Exodus 12. It says, "And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and olive and bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Verse number 9 says, "Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire." With the head, his head with his legs, and with the puritans thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. See, it had to be consumed. By the way, there was enough lamb for all to eat. There was enough lamb for every household. There's enough Christ for your house. There's enough Christ for the folks in Dubuque. There's enough Christ as we take and go and start the chapel service. There's enough Christ to give to everyone that comes. Whosoever will may come. And by the way, my life and my soul is no more important than the souls of men and women in this city. no more important. In God's eyes, they're all valuable, and God wants them all to be saved. So I want to live my life the best I can, serving God and doing God's will, getting the gospel to everybody that we can come in contact with. So tonight, the meat of the lamb had to be consumed, receiving Jesus Christ. Now watch this, listen tonight. Receiving Jesus Christ is receiving all of Him. You must receive all of Christ. Now, tonight, I don't want to make that as a work type of thing, a work salvation, but the believer must consume Christ for salvation. Watch with me what Christ said in John chapter 6. Look with me at John chapter 6. Many of you know the verse. Look what He said to His disciples in John 6. Verse number 53. John 6:53. The believer must consume Christ for salvation. John 6:53. Watch the scripture. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. Christ said this, if you're going to be saved, you must receive all of Me. You must consume Me. Now, we know that tonight the Catholics have taken that to mean that when you take the Lord's Supper, or their communion, that it actually turns to the body and blood of Christ. That's not what He's saying here. If you look at verse number 40, it says this, and this is the will of Him that sent Me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have eternal, everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. See, to consume Christ is to believe in Him. To eat His flesh and drink His blood is to believe that Christ did die for our sins, that He did shed His blood, but He did rise again from the dead, that He is the Son of God. And by faith and belief, we're consuming Christ. We're eating His flesh. We're drinking His blood. It's not physical, it's spiritual. But Christ said to the disciples that these words were spiritual words. Christ must be consumed for salvation. The same Christ that was crucified, the same man that, listen, in the Old Testament, the same man that was crucified must be the same man that they consumed and ate. Today listen, you cannot consume a different Christ. The world knows all about the Christ upon Calvary. You can go to almost any church that has any, somewhat of a resemblance of the Word of God, and they'll tell you about a Christ upon Calvary, and they'll usually get it right. That He died for our sins. He shed His own blood for our sins, and He rose again for our sins. They usually get it right. But they consume a different Christ. They consume a Christ of religion, of good works, consume a Christ of self-righteousness, consume a Christ of all kinds of different natures. You see, that's the nature of man today. We want to have a Christ upon Calvary, upon the cross, but we want to consume a different Christ. No, He's the same. You must believe in the same Christ. He's not Christ that was made in, listen, we can't make Christ in our image, what we like. He's no idol, He's God. So you must consume the same Christ upon Calvary, the same Lamb of God, and not another idol. You must consume all of Christ Jesus. We're real good at sometimes at picking things out we like and things we don't like and say, I'll take that and I won't take that. No, it's the same Christ. We must consume all of Christ. The next thing I want you to bring out is this. The believer consumes Christ for strength and nourishment. Look at me at John chapter 15. You know the verse. We must consume Christ for salvation. That lamb had to be eaten that night by the families of each household. And so Christ must be consumed tonight for salvation, but He must be consumed by everyone, not just mom or dad, but everyone must consume Christ. We consume Him for strength and nourishment. John 15, verse number 3 says this. It says, Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Why do we consume by faith Christ? Why do we, on a daily basis, consume His Word? Come to a place like this several times throughout the month. Why don't we have less church as the world today turns? Well, can you get by on less food? Can we say, hey, get by on less water? Drink less throughout the day? Can we say, hey, you know what? Just eat three times a week and you'll be fine. Now, some of you might do that already, but I ain't going to join you. Okay? My intermittent fasting is between meals. Okay? Between 1 to 5. That's my intermittent fasting. And he said, well, that's not long enough. Long enough for me. But listen, we can't eat less food and be healthy. Well, you can't consume less of Christ. It's no wonder today the world's going the way it is. The world wants less of Christ. Take Him out of our homes, out of our schools, and then only, I can't think of these pastors that just preach once on Sunday morning and that's the rest of their week. Man, where do you get a gig like that? And they're not getting paid just small pennies, by the way. And some of these guys are making it big. Now, I'm not just of that, but I'm going to say tonight how crazy we have become in our life. Hey, we have to consume Christ for our strength and nourishment. He said, without me, you can do nothing. We need to believe that tonight. You know what the word nothing means in the Greek? It means nothing. But I know tonight, if you're like me, we try to do things without Christ's help. Often we try to live our day without being in the book, without a word of prayer, make our own decisions without consulting Christ, acknowledging Him, abiding in Him, and He in us. And then we wonder why we have no fruit. We want to blame God and say, God, how dare you? Well, we left Him out. You left Him out. You didn't acknowledge Him in all your ways. You didn't apply the Word of God. You know, we want to live our life without Christ. And all of a sudden, spend 2 weeks doing something for Christ and think, okay, these 2 weeks have wiped away all my other past indiscretions. We can't live that way. And then blame Christ. Well, where's my fruit? Well, it takes longer than 2 weeks to bear fruit, my friend. So we have to abide in Him. We have to consume Him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hey, my wife and I, we're still trying. We're not doing a very good job the last 2 months. We have fallen off the wagon, man. I'm telling you. Keto is good for a short time, but when you fall, you fall a little bit. And then, you have a little bit of splurging. Then your body begins to crave those carbs again. All of a sudden that old sweet tooth kicks in. It was off for several months, No problem. I'll eat cheese and a beef stick, and a little bit of vegetables here and there. But man, you eat a donut once, and all you think about is donuts. And the thought is, one can't hurt me. and if one's good, then three must be better. And the scale starts creeping up, and you're like, oh man, what a dummy am I? And so there's times when I'll go to the cupboard and I'll get a peanut butter jar out and I'll take a spoonful, whether it's mine or Mrs. Mallory's peanut butter, and I'll eat a spoonful of peanut butter, get that protein in you for a little bit of cutting back the craving. Well, I need protein. Listen, you can't live without Christ. You gotta get a hold of Christ every day of your life. You can't have a marriage without Him. You can't raise kids without Him. We can't go down to 320 East 20th Street and have a chapel ministry without Christ. Man, we're about to embark on one of the biggest things this church has done in my ministry. And if we don't get Christ and have Christ help us, not only will we make a mess down here, it'll split this place wide open. There's a few of you not, I'm sorry, I'm trying the best I can. Some of you not plugged in tonight. I don't know what it's going to take. But we can't do it without Him. We can't do anything without Him. So He says, consume all the lamb. For what reason? For nourishment. You can tell You can tell when you're not plugged into the vine. You can tell by your spirit, by your attitude, by your carnal nature comes out. And by the way, without being judgmental, so can a lot of folks around you can tell. I think tonight that we as a church and we as God's people, we need to quit being phony and lying to ourselves and just get real. That we need Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't get up here to preach tonight or any other time for you to like me. If you don't like me, that's fine. Join the crowd. I'm not here for a popularity contest or to be your friend. God called me to be a preacher of the gospel and let that fall where it may. But tonight, we got to get real with ourselves that we need Christ. It's not about liking Pastor Mass or even liking Old Paths Baptist Church. Do you love Christ? Do you need Him? Are you abiding in Him? Are you just tonight blowing smoke? Is your Christian life a smoke screen? Is Sunday morning just a facade to let people know, hey, I'm still a Christian, but every day of the week, you couldn't ever tell. Listen, you being here and you being in church tonight, wonderful, but it's not for my benefit. To get plugged in to the Almighty for your benefit. That you might bear fruit. That you might honor Him and be abide in Him. You see, we need His strength. We need His nourishment. The number three is this, and I'll close. Because I can see in a few of your faces that you want me to close. I don't know if it's because I'm a bad preacher or because I just got close to your pet. The believer consumes Christ for fellowship. Look at me at the book of 1 John chapter number 1. That's our last verse and we'll stop here. 1 John chapter number 1. Look with me at verse number 6 for a second, please. You know, people are so funny. I try to, and I know I'm not humble. I know I've got a lot of arrogancy in me. And you know, when I preach and I say, you know, I'm sorry, and I kind of get a little bit weak on some things, people get up and say, preacher, don't apologize. Don't be weak. Just preach it hard. Preach it straight. And then when I watch when I do that and get a little bold in the pulpit, folks just shut me off. I don't know if there's any winning or not. I just come to the conclusion I just got to preach the Word of God straight the way it is. Listen, sugarcoat not going to help anybody. And you can throw darts at me and say, well, you got, and I'll say, yeah, I got problems, but I really believe tonight that the Word of God is without error and it's straight. And that's what we need. We can't change or alter it. And so tonight, if you're not really interested in that, that's okay. I'm just going to yell it from the housetops and proclaim it as I'm supposed to. And I'm glad tonight that you believe it, that you're here tonight. But I pray tonight that you get a hold of this thing. Look at the book of 1 John. Chapter 1, verse number 6, it says this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Boy, John's saying, you better get real tonight. You better pay attention tonight. Where are you walking? Are you walking in darkness? Look what he says in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Think about this for a moment tonight, for a second. That family in the Old Testament, you know, somebody named Jacob went out to the barnyard there, to the sheepfold, and got a lamb. He picked the male, by the way, without blemish or spot. He watched it for 4 days and made sure they didn't have any blemish or spot or wasn't ill. And then on the fourth day, he took that lamb and he sacrificed it. He slit its throat and took the blood from that lamb and he put it up on the doorpost of his home to spare his family from God's wrath. Then he got the family together around the table that night and they roasted that lamb with fire and they all partook of that lamb. They had fellowship with each other around the table of that Passover. Well, tonight, where do you and I get fellowship with God? Around the Lord's table. Around the Lord's table. Christ came and He shed His blood. He died upon Calvary. He was that lamb to take away our sins, and to die for us to be our peace, our reconciliation. Then he shed his blood for us that we might have peace with God. And now he says, listen, if you just abide in me and I abide in you, if you walk in the light, you have fellowship with me. And where do we get fellowship? We get fellowship around the Lord's table this evening. Around Christ. It's the Lord's table that brings us in the fellowship and unity with him. It's his sacrifice. It's his blood. It's who he is. Tonight, there is no greater fellowship in this life than with Jesus Christ. Boy, I wish tonight that I could say I've always enjoyed being at this table. But you and I know that we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. In our house, as our kids grew up, we always had a desire and a rule that we'd have one meal a day together, around the table together. And for the most part, we did. Every supper time, we came home and we'd get not in the living room watching TV, but we'd turn all that nonsense off and put away the phones and the devices and go to the table. And there we'd have a meal together and fellowship. But every now and then, we got busy. Every now and then, things took us away. And that's the same way tonight with the house, with the things of God. But tonight you ought to get around God's table, around the Lord's table, fellowship with Him. And turn off the TV and the radio and put away the devices and quit being so busy. Quit being so occupied that you can't come to the table, to the Lord's table and say, Lord, tonight I just want to fellowship with you and feast with you and feed with you, God. I want to walk with you. Would that be in the privacy of your home called your devotions? Or Sunday morning church service. Or in the evening, Wednesday night. See, now this is not getting around just to hear Pastor Mass say a few things to irritate you or tickle your ears one way or the other. For you to walk out irritated, like, well, I don't know, you know, blah, blah, you know how it all goes. No, this is for us to get on the Lord's table. Fellowship with Him. And Him with us and walk with Him. There is no greater relationship in this life than Christ Jesus. The fellowship tonight with Him. Think about that tonight. The King of Glory. Perfect without blemish. Holy and righteous. Fellowships with the likes of you and I. What makes that possible? Christ our Passover. Christ our Passover. He's not concerned about what you've done. Your good works, your righteousness, your good intentions tonight, or all your knowledge. That's not what protects us from God's wrath. It's Christ our Passover. Because Christ is our Passover, God says, come and dine. Come and fellowship with me. And tonight the world can turn dark and ugly. And tonight the world can forsake us and say, we don't know you, we don't want to know you. You're oddballs and you're extremists. But boy, what a blessing to be at the Lord's table. Tonight, Christ is our Passover. Can I ask you tonight, just lastly in closing, how is your fellowship with Him? Can I ask you tonight, how is your fellowship with me or somebody else in the church? Even your spouse. Because the most important relationship you should have in your life is Christ Jesus. Without that relationship being right, nothing else is going to be right. Tonight, young folks, moms and dads, how is your fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Passover? Well, tonight we come to you. Thank you, Father, for being so very kind to us and being our Passover. Thank you, Lord, for being our sacrifice and giving your blood. That we may, Father, believe in you, consume you, Father, all of you, and have everlasting life. Well, tonight, I'm so glad tonight, as the world gets uglier and uglier, and folks get harder and harder, that God, I have everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that this body may die, but I'll never die. And Lord, when this body lays down in death, I'll see you face to face and forever be at your table. Dear God, thank you tonight for providing Christ as our Passover. Lord, may we joy in that. We ask in your name and pray. Amen.